If you have your Bibles, this is just the jumping off place, and it probably will be for many, many messages. Look in 2 Thessalonians with me in chapter number 3, and I'm going to read starting in verse number 16. If you have your place, stand with me, please. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and we're going to read in verse number 16, 17, and 18. Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica, and Paul was probably the greatest missionary that ever lived. And I believe not just a great missionary, but he had a great heart, and he had a great love for God's people. And I was reading my Bible the other day, and I came across this, and it blessed me. And the more I study it, the more it blesses me. Look in verse 16. The Bible said, "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all." Now verse 17 is where the message comes from. "The salutation of Paul, with mine own hand." Now I want you all to look at this. "Which is the token in every epistle, so I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." I checked it. Every epistle that Paul wrote ends with "the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." I thought about even the way we conclude our services sometimes. I believe Paul, when all was said and done, I believe every service he would say, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." I'm going to take my time. We're going to start in the book of Romans. That was the first epistle that Paul wrote. We're going to look at the last chapter and look at the grace of God and why Paul would magnify this. And I believe it'll be a blessing. The importance of God's grace. You can be seated. Let's pray together. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to come into the house of God. Thank you, Father, for the privilege to read the Word of God. Thank you, God, for the privilege to experience the grace of God. Lord, I pray this morning that as we stand to break the bread of life, that God, you'd make it real in the ears of the hearer, in the hearts of the hearer. And God, I pray today that we would glean something from the Word of God that would encourage us along the way. In Jesus' name, all of God's people said, amen. The salutation of Paul with mine own hand. And many people have been settled on this all of their life. Until last night, I never got settled on. I knew the Holy Spirit was the author of the book of Hebrews. And most people believe that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. When I looked at the salutation, God nailed it down. I believe it was Paul, because he said in every epistle, "I'm going to close it out with the grace of God." You know how I'd like to close my life out? In the grace of God. You know how I'd like to close my life out? Showing grace to others, not just experiencing God's grace, but being a graceful Christian, being able to show grace and the kindness of God to others. Some have said that grace, if you do an acrostic, is God's riches at Christ's expense. Truly the songwriter got it right. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. We're going to go back to the book of Romans, and we'll be in each one of Paul's epistles. And you'll understand after we get started a little bit, maybe the first two or three messages. But this morning and tonight, we're going to be in Romans, and then I believe in the end of the book of 1 Corinthians, if you want to read this afternoon that last chapter and try to get ahead of me a little bit, that would be fine. Amen. But in Romans chapter number 16, let's look here how that Paul ends up this this chapter in the book of Romans. He said in verse number 20, "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly." He said, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." Timotheus, my fellow worker, my work fellow, and Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsmen, salute you. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. I'm not real smart, so I had to look that up. I said, I know Paul wrote the book of Romans. So who is this fellow? Is that another name for Paul? No, he's the scribe. He's the one that Paul dictated it to him. He's the one that wrote it down, so to speak. And then he said, "Gaius, mine host, and of the whole church saluteth you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, saluteth you. And Quartus, a brother." He says again, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him that is of the power to establish you according to my gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is manifest, and by the scripture and prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of the faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen." I want to look at the importance of God's grace. The fact that the Apostle Paul closes out every one of his epistles by saying, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." I want to ask you something. How many of you need his grace? How many of you realize, beloved, that we're going to face some things this week and we're going to need his grace in order to be what he would have us to be? There's an importance of God's grace. I want to show you three things this morning, if I may. I hope I can get done with these three little things and then go on to Corinthians tonight. The first thing I see in the chapter is the grace to magnify the saints. The grace to magnify the saints. That may sound a little bit foreign to you, but I'm going to show you how God is working in this chapter. I'm not going to read all of these names. It'll save us a lot of time. And it'll save me a lot of embarrassment because these names are hard to pronounce. Amen. But if you'll look in the chapter, he says, and he starts out in verse 16, "I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, that you receive her. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus." And then the Bible said, who have for my life laid down their own necks. Here's what I'm trying to magnify, beloved, in that the Apostle Paul is coming to the end of the book of Romans. And Paul wants us to know something, Brother Grizzle. It's not a one-man show. He's wanting us to know that he is surrounded by the saints of God, that he's got helpers on every hand, and that this work that's being accomplished at Rome, it's not just because of one man. Amen. In other words, beloved, Paul has the grace to understand that he needs the people of God. Beloved, we need each other. I've been saying that for years. The pastor needs the people. The people needs the pastor. The missionary needs the church. And the church needs the missionary. And Paul is trying to magnify in this chapter by giving name after name, individual after individual. You say, "Pastor, I don't understand where you're going with this." If you'll stay with me, I'll show you. Phoebe. Her name, it means to shine or to make manifest, especially by rays. You say, "Pastor, are all of these names spiritual?" No. Let me tell you something right now, beloved. God will use anybody, say amen, that'll submit their life to him. This name in verse number 5, Epaphras, it means to be praised. Andronicus in verse number 7 means a man of victory. Amplius in verse number 8 means enlarged. Verse number 10, Aristobulus, it means best counseling. Triophania in verse number 12 means luxurious. You say, Pastor, I don't know what you're getting at. Here's what I'm getting at, beloved. Paul wants us to know that we come in from different backgrounds. We come in from different levels of society and different places in the world. But there's a place for everyone at the table, amen. There's a place to serve God for every child of God. God saved us that we might serve Him. And we can do that by the grace of God. You say, Pastor, if I were Paul, I wouldn't have called all these names. Well, you weren't Paul. And Paul was under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost when he wrote it down. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm looking for a day in heaven when our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you say, Pastor, what name are you going to have? I don't know. I've got a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. But I'm going to recognize it when it's called. Amen. I believe these precious saints of God were humbled in their heart when they realized that the man of God, in the grace of God, acknowledges them in the work of God. Say amen. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. You go a lot of places and it sounds like it's a one-man show. We're a body. It's not a one-man show. Say amen. It's the body of Christ. In verse number 13, Rufus means red. In verse number 14, Asyncretitis, it means incomparable. And listen, sometimes when you think about these names, I come down to verse number 15. And I tell you, you help me, amen. Philologos, you know what that means? Fond of words, talkative. Got any of them around the church? Amen. Amen. You say, Pastor, I wouldn't talk about that one because you talk a lot. That's exactly right. That's what I'm trying to say. Amen. Some people are talkative. Some people are not talkative. But God said, I want them all. Amen. Some people are shining, beloved. I want them all. Olympus, it means heaven descended in verse number 15. And some of them don't have names. If you look them up, it just says a Christian in Rome. A Christian in Rome. In other words, they don't have a definition or a meaning to their name that I could find. But I want you to know, listen, they're all important. You say, how do you know that, Pastor? Because God put their name right here in the Word of God. And by the grace of God, Paul knew he needed God's people, and that God's people should be recognized. I don't know about you, but I thank God for men like the Apostle Paul. I thank God for men, beloved. You see, it's not just Scripture. The Bible said in Philippians 2:3, Paul is experiencing this. Paul has given us an example of this. The Bible said in Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. You know what Paul's doing in Romans chapter number 16? He's saying, it ain't just me. I want you to look at God's precious people. Amen. I want you to see what they're doing. And he said here in verse number 4 of Philippians 2, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. There's some people in this world, they're so wrapped up in their self, they never have the grace of God to acknowledge that somebody else has helped them to get where they are in this world. I saw a picture, you've seen it. The turtle's on the fence post. Guess what? He didn't get there by himself. Say amen. He didn't get up on top of that fence post by himself. Amen. I promise you that. Let me tell you this, beloved. You didn't get where you are by yourself. And I didn't get where I am by myself. Thank God for moms. Thank God for dads. Thank God for Sunday school teachers. Thank God for pastors. Thank God for Christians that have helped us along the way. And Paul, in the grace of God, he's coming down to the end of every book. He says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. We need the grace to magnify the saints. In 1 Thessalonians 5:13, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Some people, the only person they esteem highly is the one they shave.
amen, the one in the mirror, so to speak. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Listen, God said, let them esteem highly for the worst and be at peace among yourselves. The Bible said in Hebrews 10:24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. I want to ask you, Brother David, think about this. If your name was in chapter number 16 and Paul had mentioned you or mentioned the church that was in your house, listen, there's a good kind of pride and a bad kind of pride. Amen. Brother Wayne, I believe it would make you say, boy, thank God, amen, to be a part of the family of God and a part of what God's doing in this world. Amen. The Bible said, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, building one another up. And Paul is exhorting them, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. In verse number 3 of chapter 12 in the book of Romans, Paul said this. He said, I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Listen, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. I want to tell you something. Years ago, I was talking to the missionaries with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. I was in one of the conferences there. I can't remember. Regional conference. That's what it was called. And I told them, this is what I told the men. I said, some of you guys got the attitude, I'm going to do what God called me to do, with or without the church. I'm going to tell you right now, God will never bless that attitude. The missionary's got to come to a place, Brother Jason, where he says, I need God's people. And God's people need to come to a place where we can't fulfill the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach and teach the gospel. Without the missionary, we need each other. Amen. And Paul realized that. And what a blessing it was. Amen. I'm going to tell you, when a man thinks of himself more highly than he ought to think, he's full of pride. And the Word of God said, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. I believe in the end of each one, I'm going to show you how this man of God, the Apostle Paul, is humbling himself and he's seeing the importance of the grace of God. He can close out every epistle talking about the grace of God because he knows it's so very important. Beloved, the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 11, but all these worketh at one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man several as he will. Listen to this, it's important. For as the body is one and hath many members. You see, that's what Paul realized. That's why he goes down through here naming individual after individual after individual. Their names mean different things. And beloved, they probably had different positions in the church. But listen, every one of them was important. The Bible said, for as the body is one and hath many members, all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, bond or free, and have made all to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, listen to this, as it hath pleased him. I tell you, beloved, listen, there's no big I's and no little U's. There's no important positions and unimportant positions. When God saved you, he puts you where he wants you. Where he wants you. And as it pleased him, as if they were all one member, where were the body? But now, he said, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more these members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. You say, oh, so-and-so, they can't do much. I'll tell you what God said. God said, every so-and-so that I birthed into the family of God is necessary. Every one of them is necessary. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, if we get this, in the grace of God, Paul's closing out the Romans, mentioning name after name after name after name. And there's not one of them that's not important in the apostle's heart, in the life and the work of God in the church at Rome. Amen. So we see this morning three simple things. Number one, there's the grace to magnify the saints. I believe we ought to do that. I talked about one of our men in Sunday school this morning that stood in this place and led the singing. I talked about him. You say, Pastor, why would you do that? Well, I was teaching on grief. I was teaching on things that hurt. And beloved, time after time after time, we as a church, we've had to give up part of the body. But you know, God's going to put the body back together around the throne of God. Say amen. And we ought to rejoice in that. Amen. God knows what he's doing. Grace to magnify the saints. Then secondly, I believe we need this, the importance of God's grace. I believe we ought to exhort one another. You say, Preacher, I believe we ought to lift up Jesus. I do too. Say amen. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If you'll read your Bible, even Jesus, when he was talking to the churches, would commend them for what they were doing right. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Everybody needs to be loved. Everybody needs to be encouraged a little bit along the way. Amen. There's enough in this world to cause us all to want to quit. Say amen. But God wants us to go on. And we're to encourage one another and magnify the saints. The second thing I see in the message today is there's grace to identify the spoiler. He said, Pastor, where did you get that? Look at it with me in verse number 17. He said, Now I beseech you, brethren. That word beseech means beg. Paul is saying, pay careful attention here. He said, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Let me say something to you. When God's got a body that's functioning together, there's no big I's, no little U's. Every one of our children's important. Every one of our teenagers is important. Every mommy, every daddy, every mamma, every papa. If you're here and you've never been married, you're still important. God's put you in the body of Christ. And when that body is functioning, Brother Gary, the way that it's supposed to function, you can mark this down. The enemy's going to try to send a spoiler. He wants to spoil it. Say amen. You see, mark them which cause division. You see it right there? God said, beloved, listen, just as sure as there's something called unity, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Just as sure as there's something called unity, there is an enemy that wants to sow discord and division among the body of Christ. I'll tell you something, beloved. I've been in places, listen to me. I've been in places, I'm not talking about our church. I thank God for our church. But I've been in churches, beloved, where there was more unity in the bar room than there was in the house of God. At least they had a common purpose, Brother Preston, to get to the bottom of the bottle and get another one. Say amen. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say we need to work hard to keep the spoiler out there and not let him in here. You say, Pastor, you're talking about the body of Christ. Let me talk about something else. Let me talk about your marriage. That spoiler wants to spoil your marriage. That spoiler wants to spoil your marriage. He wants to spoil our church. He wants to spoil that relationship with a mom and a dad and their children. Amen? And Paul, in the grace of God, he said, just let me identify that fella for you. You say, Pastor, what else did you see? Look here in verse number 20. And the God of peace shall bruise. This is something I'm looking forward to. Say amen. Shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. I'm going to tell you what, when God's a bruising Satan, he's a blessing his youngins. Say amen. But old Satan, he's not going to stand still for that. He's going to try to bruise God's youngins. He wants to hurt us. Amen. And I believe it's important in the grace of God to magnify the saints. I believe it's important to identify the spoiler. Young people, let me say this today. There's an enemy that wants to spoil your testimony. There's an enemy that wants to spoil what God wants you to reserve for marriage. He wants to spoil all of that. He wants to spoil your relationship with God. He wants to spoil your relationship with the church. And he'll do everything that he can. He's a spoiler. Beloved, the Bible said, "The thief cometh not but for to kill and to steal and to destroy." Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." I'll tell you something, beloved. I don't think there's anything in the world any sweeter than fellowship with God's Son and fellowship with God's people. There's nothing in this world any sweeter that I know of. Amen. I've had individual after individual tell me this. Brother Steve has mentioned this at times. "I'm closer to the people in the church than I am my own family, my blood-born family." Amen. And I believe, beloved, listen, Christ ought to be the one that brings us close together. So the importance of God's grace. We need grace, the grace of God, to magnify the saints and to identify the spoiler. We need to know who he is and what he's up to. And then in closing this morning, we need the grace of God to glorify the Savior. If you notice with me here, he said in verse number 24, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." You see, I don't believe it's just a... Have you ever just done something out of habit? You know what I mean? You just do it out of habit, you know. Maybe it's a certain way you pray, and maybe you always close it out in Jesus' name. Some people, I know several that I've been close to over the years that start their prayer, "Father, in the name of Jesus." Yeah, they'll say. Sometimes we do things out of habit, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm trying to tell you that I do not believe that it's the grace of God in the what did Paul call it there? Let me turn back to Ephesians, or excuse me, to the book of Thessalonians. What he call it? He said here, "The salutation of Paul, mine own hand," which is a token. That's what I was looking for. The token in every epistle. I don't believe it's just something, it was a habit, so to speak, to write, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." I believe Paul had been through enough. Say amen. Personally, I believe he had been through enough and seen the church go through enough to know that when he closed out every epistle, he said, "Youngins, there's something we're going to need. We're going to need the grace of God. If we're going to make it, we're going to need the grace of God." We need the grace to magnify the saints, the grace to identify the spoiler. But when we need God's grace to glorify the Savior, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." Look in verse 25. "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel." You say, "Pastor, who's the him?" We'll find out. "And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began." Aren't you glad God let the Apostle Paul in on the resurrection? Aren't you glad God let the Apostle Paul in on the fact, "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump." Oh, hallelujah, there's a trumpet going to sound. If it sounds right now, beloved, I'll be changed. You say, "Pastor, what are you going to do?" I'm going to have a new body. My body, this old vile body, is going to be fashioned like unto his glorious body. The Bible said the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You say, "Pastor, where did we get all of that?" There's an apostle that God revealed the mystery of the rapture, the mystery of the coming of Christ. And I believe he wanted the church to know that is the blessed hope of the born-again believer. He said here, "But now is manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of the faith." You say, you've got these nations, this is called a Hindu nation, and this is called a Muslim nation, and God help us, America at one time was called a Christian nation. I'd just about be ashamed. Say amen. We're certainly not in the majority in this country anymore. Say amen. If I said this name this morning, I'm going to get in trouble. I'm going to stay that way till Jesus comes. If I said Lois Lerner, how many of you would know who I'm talking about? Okay, there's one over there. One back there knows who I'm talking about. You remember when they were targeting conservatives? The IRS was targeting conservatives. It was proven. Amen? Now listen to me. You say, Pastor, why would you even mention that this morning? Let me tell you something. We're going to need the grace of God. They're going to be coming after our church, Brother Grissel. Mark her down. They're not hiring 87,000 new IRS agents, amen, to sit in an office somewhere and twiddle their thumbs. They're coming after God's people, and they're coming after those that believe the Bible, and they're coming after the conservatives. You say, Pastor, I don't know how you could even make such a statement. Just look at what's common knowledge, beloved. If you're on one side, you get by with it. If you're on the other side, they'll make it up and accuse you of it. You say, I wouldn't say that from the pulpit. I done did. Because it's God's truth. Amen. Justice is supposed to be blind. And if you can't see that it's not blind, you're blind. I believe if you do wrong, you ought to be punished for it. But I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. You can mark this down. By the way, let me just give you something. Have you noticed lately that the IRS has got in, there's these pay systems where you can link it to a credit card, you can link it to your bank account. PayPal is one of them. eBay. Have you noticed, beloved, listen, that all of that income now is reported? You want me to tell you how this thing's going to end up? Let me tell you how it's going to end up. You're not going to be able to buy anything or sell anything without a mark. That way the government, Brother Rick, knows everything. Say amen. You say, Pastor, are you angry? No, I'm trying to tell you we need God's grace and we're going to need more of God's grace. Amen. Because we are not in friendly territory. I'm telling you, beloved, there are people in this world that would just soon the church be out of the way, and the blessed hope of the church is Jesus to come on that cloud and get us out of the way. Amen. Let them have it. Amen. Let them have it. Grace to glorify the Savior. Look in verse 27. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Turn to Jude quickly. The book of Jude. You'll know what chapter when you get there. We were in that ordination service last night, and they said, you have any questions? I was going to ask Brother Cody what the first verse in the book of Hezekiah said. I didn't do that, though. That would have been mean. That wouldn't have been grace. That'd have been old flesh. Amen. I'm just kidding. Look in verse 25 of the book of Jude. Well, let me give you this. Verse 24. Read it with me. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Brother John, you believe the enemy wants to take your pastor down? You believe he wants to take you down? I believe he wants to take our church down, our families down. But there's one that's able to keep us from falling. The Bible said, and to present you faultless, boy, that blows my mind, before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty. Say those words with me. Our Savior, would you do that? Our Savior. Now make it personal. Say, my Savior. My Savior. You see, when you get a bunch of my Saviors together, he's our Savior. Ain't that wonderful? Amen. Watch this now. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Years ago, you've heard me tell this and I'm done. Years ago, I preached the message. Brother Mike, you've not heard it probably. Miss Debbie. But years ago, I preached the message. I was pastor of a church. I love my people. But it was one of them messages, just every once in a while, if you've ever preached or taught a Sunday school lesson, you feel like it was just the biggest bomb. I went home that day and my tail was tucked between my legs. I just felt like I failed my people. I failed my Lord. 2 weeks later, a couple came in my office. They said, Pastor, we need to see you. Usually that's not good. Amen. One lady went in the pastor's office and she started railing on her husband. Said he's sorry. Said he won't work. Said he's a sot. He lays around and drinks all the time. Said he won't even help me with the housework. 5 minutes later, she went, what do you think, Pastor? He said, tell you the truth, you've been in my office for 5 minutes and I could use a drink right now. He felt sorry for the old fella. Amen. Couple came in my church, came in, said, Pastor, we need to talk to you in the office. And this is what they said. They said, do you remember this message that you preached a couple weeks ago? I said, I remember, and I don't remember much, but I remembered that because it was that bad. That's the way I felt about it. They said, God used that message to spare our marriage. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say this morning? That's the grace of God. That we could stand there and feel like we've done struck plumb out. But God take it. They said we'd done discussed on the way to church how we was going to divide everything up. And they're still together today. Paul knew in closing out every epistle, he said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. That tells me he was from the south. And with all the people, see, you all, amen. And God, in His grace, God can take our weakness. Brother Wayne, He can take our worst. But He knows our heart. I like what Brother John said one time. He said, sometimes even when we think we're doing good, we ain't doing near as good as we think we are. But there's another side to that. Sometimes when we think we ain't doing no good, we might be doing more good than we think we are. Let's just stay in the body. Understand by the grace of God, amen, we need each other. Understand we have an enemy. Let's identify him. By the way, let me just say this to you. If you're lost, never will it be true that I am your enemy. If you're saved, never will it be true that I am your enemy. But you know what old Slewfoot will do? He'll take and he'll twist it. That preacher don't like me. You're right. I love you. There's a big difference between liking something and loving something. Say amen. I love you. Jesus loves you. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to be in the house of God. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of the Word of God. Help us to see the importance of God's grace. Lord, we ask you to just help us today in the invitation. Help us to realize, our Father, how much we need each other. How much, our Father, the enemy wants to destroy what we have. How much, Lord, we need your grace to glorify our Savior, our Lord, our Master, the Lord Jesus. I pray now, Father, that you would guide us. I pray, Lord, that you would guard us. I believe, Lord, that you'd just help us set a hedge, Lord, of protection around us, around our young people, around our homes, around our church. Lord, we're living in an hour, our Lord. It's dangerous. God, help us, our Lord. Guide us through the dangerous waters, our Father. And I believe, Lord, as we get closer
and closer to the coming of Jesus, the heat's going to be turned up more and more. Help us, we pray. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.